Brian has asked us to read from Luke chapter 4, starting at verse 14. The account here of Jesus going into the synagogue to read. Verse 18 mentions some of the things that the prophet Isaiah had written about Jesus. He was sent to preach the gospel, and he hath been sent to heal the brokenhearted. I was thinking about the brokenhearted a little bit. We all get around people who are brokenhearted for one reason or another. And some of the physical things that we can be healed from and that Jesus healed through his ministry was really interesting. It was neat to see that. But I was thinking today of the brokenhearted people. I work with a man who sort of has a rough family life. His daughter's addicted to some kind of drugs, and it's just a mess. And while he's a fun guy to be around, there's a very dark shadow over that man. And he comes to me and asks me questions a lot, and he's searching for something. He's brokenhearted. And this is one of the things that Jesus says that he can deliver from and heal. Luke chapter 4, 14 to 21. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the regions round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And he stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is scripture fulfilled in your ears." For those who are able, let us kneel for prayer.
Greet each one of you tonight in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I trust you noticed a theme. I don't know whether Brother Dustin planned it that way or whether it just happened. But the theme of the hymns were all Jesus. They all lifted up Jesus. That's my goal tonight, to lift up Jesus Christ as we look at Jesus, our great deliverer, as we examine Jesus Christ, our deliverer, Jesus Christ, the one that rescues us from danger, Jesus Christ, the one that's able to release prisoners from bondage. That theme is found throughout the scripture. It's a scarlet thread, they call it, that runs from Genesis chapter 3, where a deliverer is promised that would crush the head of Satan, all the way to Revelation, where we see a deliverer finally delivering his people from the presence of sin. We also see throughout history, God and Jesus Christ as a deliverer. God delivered Abraham from the evil of the Ur of the Chaldees. Joseph delivered his people from famine. The enslaved Israelites were delivered from Egyptian bondage. David was continually delivered from Saul and from the Philistines. Queen Esther was sent to deliver her people, and the list goes on and on. History is full of a people needing a deliverer, and it's full of God providing a deliverer. We see that clearly in the concept of the Messiah. While the Messiah means many different things, it certainly includes the idea of being a deliverer. The Messiah, the anointed one, the one that was charged and commanded and sent by God for an appointed task, and that's to deliver God's people. We know that's what the Jews at Jesus' time got messed up. They were looking for a deliverer that would deliver the nation of Israel from Roman rule. Yet the delivery the Messiah, Jesus Christ, offered was delivery from the power of evil, delivery from the bondage of the law, delivery from sin, delivery from the power of death, and delivery from the wrath of God. Jesus Christ, God the Son, was sent by God the Father to be a deliverer, a Messiah for all mankind. Let's look at the text that was read by Brother Andy this evening in Luke 4, verses 14 and 15. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him, and through all the region round about, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. The setting here is very early in Jesus' ministry. It was after the temptation in the wilderness. And throughout Galilee, he went preaching and teaching in the power of the Spirit. He was teaching in the synagogues. It's hard to think of it, isn't it? Hard to imagine the powerful teacher he must have been. The power and the authority and the clarity when the Word, Logos, Jesus Christ, was teaching the Word of God. It must have been amazing. And seemingly for this short period of time, it seems like he was unopposed. It says here in Scripture that there was a fame that went about him. He drew high praise. He made the news. His ability spread far and wide, and he was glorified by all. Verses 16 and 17. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered under him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. So he comes to his hometown, a place where he grew up, a place where he was raised, a place where he was well known. And he went into the synagogue, as was his practice. And he stood up and they handed him the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. I assumed it was the assigned reading for that day. And he read these verses. Verse 18 and 19, and the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. We see here the prophet Isaiah foretells who the deliverer would be. It would be the Messiah, and it foretells of what he's assigned to do. We see the Messiah here, the anointed one. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him, and we remember from Jesus' baptism, the Spirit of God descended upon him, the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove. He was the anointed one. He was sent by God to be his representative, and he was charged with a purpose. He had an objective. He had something to do. He came directly from God to do God's will, to do God's work. Jesus himself said it. He said, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but to do the will of him that sent me. Jesus Christ is the anointed one, is the Messiah. What he came to do. He came to deliver good news, to preach the gospel to the spiritually poor, to those who are needy, to those who are destitute, to those who need help. While this describes each and every man ever born, only a few actually come to the knowledge that they are needy. Only a few come to the knowledge that they are sinful. Only a few come to the knowledge that they are helpless. Only a few cry out to Jesus Christ for a deliverer. But to those few, Jesus Christ preaches good news. Your deliverer has come. Matthew 5:3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Happy are the poor in spirit, because I have good news. The kingdom of heaven has come. The deliverer has come. The long-awaited Messiah is here. The deliverer came to heal the brokenhearted. Jesus came with the good news of deliverance to those who were having a hard time of life, weighted down with calamities, burdened with distress, worn out from living a sinful life in a sinful world, to the sad, to the lonely, to the oppressed, to the discouraged, to the broken hearts. There's good news. Good news. God has sent a deliverer. Jesus, the deliverer, came to set the captives free. He brought deliverance from the bondage of the law and the bondage of sin and the bondage of the evil one. To those who are trapped, to those who are imprisoned, to those who feel powerless, Jesus says, good news, your deliverer has come. The deliverer came to give sight to the blind, to free those who are bruised and broken. What a terrible picture is painted here of man and woman, blind, in spiritual darkness, walking and stumbling in sin. The picture is just as vivid of a man and a woman, or a woman bruised and beaten up, black and blue, full of cuts and sores, mutilated, deformed. It's a terrible sight. And that's exactly what sin does. Sin leaves nations, sin leaves individuals beaten, bruised, attacked, and left for dead. Listen to how God describes sin in Isaiah chapter 1. Why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Many of the world around, many of our neighbors feel beaten up, attacked, and left for dead. They're bruised, they're wounded, they are hurting. To them, Jesus Christ says, a deliverer has come. Lastly, Jesus says, a deliverer has come to preach the acceptable year of our Lord. The year of Jubilee, Jesus said, it's a year of Jubilee. It was a Jewish practice, as you know, every 50 years to begin anew, to start life over, to have a year of Jubilee. It was a time of joy, a time of mercy, a time of justice. Debts were canceled. Slaves were freed. Property reverted back to the original owner. It's a beautiful picture of Jesus Christ as deliverer and what he came to do. To those who are trapped, to those that need a new beginning, Jesus says, your deliverer has come. Read in verses 20 and 21. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and he sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is a scripture fulfilled in your ears. Jesus finishes the reading, he closes the scroll, and he hands it back, and he sits down and he begins to teach. He begins to expound on the scripture that he's just read. He began to explain God's word. All the eyes there were on him. Every ear was strained to hear what he would say about this portion of scripture. How would he explain the text? And Jesus said, today, this scripture is fulfilled. Today, your deliverer has come. Tonight, I'd like to, for the remaining time, make the idea of a deliverer personal to you. I'd like you to consider Jesus Christ as your deliverer. As I consider Jesus Christ as my deliverer and all he has done for me, there was a chorus that kept going through my mind, and perhaps you remember it. Learned as a small boy, it goes, "He is able, he is able. I know my Lord is able, I know my God is able to carry me through." It kept going through my mind over and over again, "He is able, he is able. He's able to deliver." Tonight I'd like you to think about Jesus Christ, your deliverer, and what he is able to do for you. First, Jesus Christ can deliver you from the power of evil. As an unbeliever, we're under the power of Satan. Scripture is clear about that. We don't know it, perhaps, we don't realize it, but we were under Satan's power and Satan's rule. Ephesians 2:2 says, "Where in times past you walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." For the unbeliever, Satan is their king. Satan is their master, their ruler, and their master's only desire is to steal, kill, and destroy. That's the God they serve. Jesus Christ came to free us from that bondage. Jesus Christ came to free us from the power of evil. As a believer here tonight, the forces of darkness and evil have absolutely no power over you. None at all. Yes, in this world, we do experience evil. Bad things happen to Christians. We experience hard, difficult times. We will experience persecution. But the powers of evil have no power over you. To the ones that Jesus have delivered, Brother Duane mentioned it this morning, Jesus prays for you. Doesn't that thrill your soul? Jesus says in John 17, "I pray now that thou, that thou shouldst not take them out of the world, but thou shouldst keep them from evil." Jesus is praying for you. The powers of evil have no power over you as a believer. Galatians 4:1-4, Jesus Christ died for you, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. Jesus Christ can deliver you, Colossians 1:13. God, who delivered us from the powers of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. We've been taken out of the kingdom of the evil one and put into the kingdom of his own dear Son. The Apostle Paul, in the last days of his life, there in the prison in Rome, awaiting crucifixion, execution, in that dark, lonely place, perhaps the worst of all places anyone could believe, he was not in bondage. His spirit soared as he considered his deliverance. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that the Gentiles might hear. I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be all glory forever and ever. Amen." If tonight you're living under a fear of living in an evil world, if you're afraid of men, if you're afraid of governments, tonight your deliverer has come. You have absolutely nothing to fear from the evil one if you're in God's hands. Psalm 91 thrills my soul every time I read it. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He will deliver thee from the snare of the fowlers and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 will fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh to thee. Only with thine eyes thou shalt behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, and there shall be no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Jesus Christ has come to deliver us from the power of evil. He is able. He is able. I know He is able. Secondly, Jesus Christ has come to deliver us from the bondage of the law. The question is asked in Romans 7, verse 1. Know ye not, brethren, how that the law hath dominion over the man as long as he lives? God's law is in effect and has dominion over man. Every law is in effect. Loving your enemies, stealing, taking the Lord's name in vain, thinking unclean thoughts, lusting, lying, anger, bitterness. And if you break one of these laws, one time you're a transgressor and you stand guilty before God, condemned by the law. No one, absolutely no one, can keep the law completely. And so you see, we are bondage. We're in a trap. We can't keep the law and we stand condemned, guilty. Yet the good news is, as we look at the law and our inability to keep it, we recognize that we need a deliverer. We need someone to help us. And that deliverer is Jesus Christ. He died. He paid the price. He was condemned. He suffered for us in your place to make us free from the law, that we can stand before God righteous and perfect. Won't you cry out tonight to Jesus Christ and tell Him that you need a deliverer? Jesus Christ can deliver you from the damning condemnation of the law. He is able. He is able. Thirdly, Jesus Christ is able to deliver you from the power of sin. We all know it and we all experience it. The conflict in yourself as sin tempts us, as we have that battle, that we must exist in a world tainted with sin, and we face that constant battle in our lives. Turn to Romans verse 15. Romans 7 verse 15. Romans 7 verse 15. Hear the cry, the heart's cry for deliverance here as the battle rages with sin. Romans 7, verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity of the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Do you see the struggle? Even for the believer, we struggle with sin and the temptation of sin. We experience it, don't we? Not just man, but all creation, Scripture tells us in Romans 8. The whole creation struggles under the burden of sin and the bondage of sin. But brothers and sisters, there's coming a day, a glorious day, when sin will be gone and all will be made right. Revelation 21, a familiar text. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there will be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And I give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. And he that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Don't you want to be part of that great day when the struggle with sin is finally gone? All is made right. No sin in all creation. Won't you run to your deliverer? Put your faith and your trust in him. Jesus is able to deliver you from the presence of sin. He is able. He is able. I know he is able. Fourthly, Jesus Christ came to deliver us from the power of death. Sin equals death. Death is a payment for sin. An unsaved man is in bondage to death. Not only death, but a fear of death. Hebrews 2:14 says, as much then as the children are partakers of the flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Jesus Christ, the deliverer, suffered and died. He paid the price. He paid the wages of our sins. Yes, death is real. Yes, death is an enemy. Yes, death and the fear of death is a tyrant that holds the unsaved man in bondage. But Jesus Christ has defeated the enemy. Death and the fear of death are defeated. Believer, you need not fear death. Even death itself is under the power and the control of God and is used for his purpose. Turn to 2 Corinthians verse 1. 2 Corinthians verse 1. Second Corinthians chapter 1 verse 8. Paul's writing here of a trouble. What the trouble was in Asia, I'm not certain of. Whatever he's describing here was a terrible time. It was bad. The sentence of death was upon him. He could die at any time. Yet we can easily tell from this scripture that he trusted in God and he had no fear. He was not in bondage to the fear of death. 2 Corinthians 1, beginning at verse 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. Verse 10 here, pay special attention to it. Who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Do you see, it's a beautiful verse. It's all three tenses. In the past tense, he said, who hath delivered us from so great a death? It's a done deal. You've been delivered. You need have no fear. You have security and trust in God. And doth deliver. It's present tense. Each day you're able to live a victorious life because God, Jesus Christ, deliver you. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, we are troubled on every side, but yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken or cast down. We are persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Later on in that same chapter, in verse 17, he says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. How can Paul say this? You know the story of his life. Beaten, shipwrecked. How can Paul say this? It's because he lives each day with the knowledge and faith that Jesus Christ has the ability to deliver him from death. You also see there in verse 10, it's the future tense. In whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Here we look forward in time when our deliverance is complete. There is coming a day where there will be no physical death. Those beautiful verses in 1 Corinthians 15. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin in the law is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, our deliverer, is able to deliver us from the power of death. Won't you put your trust in him? He is able to deliver you. Lastly, Jesus Christ is able to deliver us from the wrath of God. Today, Christians the world over, and somewhat here in the United States, face persecution. They face fire. They face the sword. They face torture. They face the death of their loved ones. Terrible things for being a follower of Christ. As bad as these things are, they are nothing compared to the wrath of God. They are absolutely nothing compared to when God pours out his wrath on unbelievers, those who rejected his deliverer. Unbelievers will face a terrible time. You can read about it in Scripture. Afflictions, physical torments in this world, eternal punishment in hell forever, God's wrath is described clearly in Scripture, yet it is so horrible, so unimaginable, so hard to put into words. God's wrath, His anger, His indignation, His vexation, His grief, His justice, His righteous fury will be poured out on the wrongs and injustice and sinful man. This isn't a knee-jerk reaction by an angry God. This is not a sudden outburst of anger. It's measured. It's planned for. It's a punishment of sin. It's His righteous judgment. It's real. It's personal. And it's severe. Yet man need not experience the wrath of God. There is a way. There is a deliverer, and that's Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 1:10 describes Jesus as our deliverer from the wrath to come. Romans 3, verse 24 and 25, saying, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remissions of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. If you're here tonight and have not put your faith, your trust into the deliverer, Jesus Christ, you can tonight. God has no desire that anyone experience His wrath. In His mercy, He withhold judgment for a time. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. I beg you tonight, run to your deliverer, Jesus Christ. He is the only one able to deliver you from the wrath to come. He is able. Jesus Christ was sent by God. Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the deliverer. He's able to deliver you from the power of the evil one. He's able to deliver you from the bondage of the law. He's able to deliver you from the power of sin. He's able to deliver you from the power of death. And He's able to deliver you from the wrath of God to come. Won't you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, your deliverer? He is able. He is able. I know He is able. I know my God is able to carry me through. God bless you this week.
Before we stand for closing prayer, I'd just like to draw one more prayer request to your attention. Some of you may know the Charlie Ryder family from Spring Grove. Charlie, you might know, was a first cousin of Jeffrey Kepner. Charlie passed away this week, and I would ask you to pray for his wife, Kathy, and their family. And he was the last living cousin that Jeff Kepner had. So just a little insight there to who this gentleman was. So if you have time to think about it and pray about it this week, just remember the Ryder family in prayer. Let's stand for closing.